I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And I'm Jameson.
And you're here with us on a Teachers Who Talk Crime
podcast. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
So we have a guest. If you don't know who she is, you probably know her from Instagram. That's where we met her. Gosh, what, 2 years ago?
It was 2021 because it was right before my son was born, and he was born on July 4th.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2 years ago. So we have Jameson here. If you don't know, she's going to give you her socials. You might know her from her handles because that's what the internet does. But Jameson, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Jameson. I'm from Lessons with Coffee. So you can find me on Instagram at Lessons with Coffee. I also sort of do YouTube, mostly in the summer, because I do have a contract where I can't do stuff at school, really. And also I'm busy during the school year. So because I can't tape during the school day, I want to leave after contract hours. And so I don't do a lot of YouTubing, unfortunately, during the school year. But so Instagram, YouTube, Lessons with Coffee. I don't do the TikTok. I got that during COVID and I did like 5 and that's it. Students at my school find it really funny when they find my TikTok and realize that there's 5 videos from me. But yeah, but that's it. Those are my social medias. I currently teach first grade in a public school in just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota. Okay. And I have taught, there's people that follow me that are with me from my Montessori days because I have a Montessori license. There are people that followed me from my middle school math days. So I've been teaching for a very long time and I've been on Instagram as a teacher grammar. Is that the word? Teacher gram?
I don't really know what it's called actually.
But you know, it's like teacher talk, teacher grammar. Yeah.
So I've been on Instagram with my like teacher handle since 2011.
Okay.
So we're old.
I didn't know you did Montessori. I worked for the Italian embassy in China and that was like the, what they adopted. Well, not adopted. That's what they use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, and that was the first exposure I had to. Yeah. That was the first exposure I had to it. And I was like, wow, this is fascinating.
It really is.
So when I tell people I've literally taught everything from first grade through eighth grade, a lot of it was when I taught in a 1-2-3 classroom. And then I also taught in a 4-5-6 classroom. And then I've also taught fourth grade, like contained. Yes. One grade. Mm-hmm. Then my district moved me to sixth grade and then they took sixth grade out of the elementary school and moved it to the middle school. So that's how I ended up at the middle school. Then I got bounced around, went back down to a 4-5 split, moved to a different district. I followed a principal that I loved and, he was at the middle school. Offered me a job. I didn't want to interview, so I said, sure. And then was back in the middle school for 3 years. COVID hit, went back down to the elementary and taught in a 5-6 combo class. And then I just moved back to first grade this year. So,
and this is all Montessori?
No, just the 3 grade levels. So when you do Montessori is typically like multi-age.
Yeah.
So there's usually Kinderhaus, which is a pre-K kinder class. And then there's like, they call them different things, but we were in lower. And it was 1-2-3. So I had first, second, and third graders all in the same class all day. And then a 4-5-6 all day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All of my work has been public, though. So it was even a public Montessori.
Oh. Could we have one out here, I believe, in Wilmington. And I was looking to send the girls there. But me living here and them going over there, it was too much. It was too much of a drive. And your girl does
it is
not
amazing.
Like driving.
And like your girls love to like explore and figure out things on their own. So like your
that
girls
would, be,
would thrive in something
there's
like
a
that.
Lot of kids
100%.
That do not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
well, when son- I was there, it was so like the kids that I worked with because I was the American liaison. So I helped like hire American certified teachers. I did like, this is the salary they expect. These are the holidays they want off. These are the dates they'll work. things like that. So I was like their American liaison, but I got to work with the kids too. And these kids, though, already spoke like 5 languages.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least 3 in the first grade. Yeah. You know what and I mean? Like, so
you have to have a lot of parent support for Montessori to work too. I have the child, though, that it would not work well because a lot of it, you're kind of choosing your own path. Mm-hmm. And my kid would just sit there and do math all day and then would not do reading.
Right.
And that would be a problem. But mine would just not do well in Montessori.
And like, that's the cool part about it is like, I got to lead. We had, it was the 1, 2, 3. And I had a kid ask me about the American flag and like the meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. And so that actually led to a whole week long project where the kids got to create their own country. They came up with their own country's name. They created their own country's flag. What did their country look like on a map? What was their animal? What was their, like, it was the coolest thing all from a conversation. Like it wasn't based off a pacing guide. Like it was literally, this kid asked me a question and I was like, I have an idea.
Yeah, pretty much the only thing they like, you have the big lessons or the great lessons. And those are the only ones that are like you have to do. And a lot of those are like, how did the earth begin?
Right.
And it kind of goes up as you progress throughout your age. So you have your great lessons. But then depending on where you work, so because mine was a public, we were guided by the standards, but there was no really like you as a teacher make all of the curriculum. Like it's all handmade. You're not buying things off of, and like printing it. Like I handmade posters and hand drew flashcards. And it's just a lot of investigation. And it's just.
Seems like a lot of prep too.
It is. It's all about like the beauty of education though. So you want these beautifully created things. There's a whole lot more to it. And I'm very glossing over it. It is just, it's just a different way of thinking about education and who the child is and like getting the child to own their education versus spoon feeding it to them.
Which I feel like love that.
Which is a little bit more traditional, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think they all have their places in the world. And I think a good teacher will pull from all different sorts of, like, you know, there's Waldorf, there's nature, there's Montessori, there's, you know, your traditional, there's online learning, there's independent studies, there's all of these great ways that kids can learn. And I think a good teacher will pick and choose different things. But yo, I don't make flashcards anymore. That's
I buy that from TPT.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
I'm with you. So I'm excited to be here. Y'all were my like kind of saving grace during my maternity leave with Frankie. So I have 2 children, and it came pretty close right after the like big, I mean, it was in the middle of the pandemic because no one could come to the hospital when we had them. So, y'all were kind of my saving grace and I get off track every now and then, but I know that you're always there and they're quick and easy listen tos. And, so I can always get caught back up and I send y'all messages all the time. And I really like your banter and all of that. So I'm just happy that I like feel like I can text you like I'm a friend. And this is honestly the first time we've ever actually seen each other face to face. So
and we literally, I know. And we have a crazy text thread now. Look at us.
But we literally talk for like almost like an
every
hour.
Day. Oh.
We literally talk for see, like y'all think that we get on here and just record, but like we literally don't. All 3 have just been sitting here talking for an hour. Like we have feel like we know her. We're just like, oh, tell us about your week.
Yeah.
You know,
putting 2 children to bed.
Like, he's doing great. Mom's he's doing great.
It's been so fun. So I'm just happy to be here. It's really exciting. So you know I want to come back. So
that's we're going to go ahead and just take that as her review. What do you think, Ashley?
I like that. Okay, well, thank you so much for your review. This goes does for you. Bang.
Yeah, so if you didn't get the hint, Jameson is our star student.
He sure is.
Yes.
I've never been a star student. I was a star teacher or something on
yes, you were.
A happy hour.
Yes,
you were. You were the star teacher. But that was a really good review. I mean, we were there. We were there through the birth of your child.
Wow. I know you were.
You know?
Wow, that just
you and Guy Fieri from Diners, Dives, and Drive-In.
That was a good show. That is a good show.
Yep. Well, Ashley has our case today. I feel like, Ashley, you've kind of been bringing all the cases. Like, you're back to back on our thing. I don't know if we got our order wrong on our production, but like last week y'all heard Ashley, and then the next week you heard Ashley, but now y'all can hear Ashley again.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. Okay. I have to fact check that because I feel like last week was definitely, wasn't last week in your Bammy?
No. It was Natalie Martin.
So what was this week?
Amy and Jamie.
What happened?
You got back-to-back Ashley, guys.
What happened? How did that even happen?
Our production just swapped them. I'll be there next week.
Okay. I mean, you're more than welcome to take the floor, girl.
My face is not ready.
You are more than welcome to take this away, baby girl. Okay.
I was reading all my articles today, and I've already kind of put it in a synopsis, and I'm ready to...
My
thought process. Yeah, I was reading my article.
Oh, Brooke, I gotta ask. You love AI. Have you used AI for this?
Yeah, I have. Oh, well, okay. It's funny. So I actually tested out AI. I would say it was this summer, and I called Ashley. I was like, I'm gonna ask AI about this case, right? And so I put in write a true crime podcast episode on the case of
whatever.
Jameson, whatever. Okay.
So I'm not a criminal.
What did you do, girl?
So it did the intro, it did like host number one says this, host number two says it wrote it beautifully, right? Well, this was a real case that I had picked for that week. And I was like reading it. And then I called Ashley, I was like, this case said that this guy murdered two girls and he murdered a grandma. Like it was like the names were all right, but like none of it was correct. Like, it was really, and I mean, I just wanted to see what it would do.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was like, wow. And then that's kind of when I deep dove into like where does AI cut off? And it cuts off in 2021. So anything like these most recent cases, they would not show up in AI at all. And then also now when I ask it, because like we use it for our show notes, right? Like write a synopsis of the Natalie Martin case, just because our show notes are short.
Yeah.
And we take our cases that we've already written and researched and we just put them in there. We're like, summarize this.
Okay. Yeah.
So it will sometimes, if you put your case in there and like, for me, I'll say, okay, summarize this and I'll paste my case. And it is like, I cannot do this. This has words. This goes against my policy because there's like words like murder So I have been flagged multiple times by ChatGPT. I'm just waiting for them to like ban me.
That's more. Yeah. You could choose a different one.
I feel like they've never flagged me because I'm just like...
They flag me all the time because I asked them the other day. I said, how do you bet on the Super... And you can't ask them about gambling. I done tried that and it flagged me. I'm going to get kicked out.
You can always tell if I use AI on any of my posts because it has a million emojis. Apparently it thinks that... as a teacher, I am not capable of using, you know, really words. $10 verb or, you know, adjectives. And, but it just puts all of the emojis in it. So oftentimes I'll even say I 100% used ChatGPT for this.
Sorry, it's great. I love it.
I also like you said, it does know that you're a teacher, but I asked it when I first got my ChatGPT, I log in with the same account. And I asked my ChatGPT, I said, to better get to know me, to write for me in the future, ask me 10 questions. And it asked me 10 questions to get to know me. I answered all 10. And now it knows kind of like who I am and what I'm looking for when I write. And
that's kind of creepy though.
Yeah, it is creepy. Can do it. Go ask your AI to ask you 10 questions to better get to know you.
If it asks me some crazy stuff, I'm going to have to.
Like I'm putting that in the notes to do tomorrow.
And then it gears like its responses towards you as a person. And I've really liked that because
that's nice.
I don't use, well, I don't even know a big word. I don't use big words. Like, I just don't. I'm a math person. So, like, it is.
You
got to
get the $10 words.
Yeah.
You'd be using $2 words. You need a $10 word.
Sometimes in ChatGPT, when it gives me a response, I'm like, use less wordy words. And then I'm like, send it again. Because Brand Tisha would never say that.
Yeah.
The one I use lately, I just noticed it starting. I don't use ChatGPT. I use, chat something else. I'm looking it up right now. Chat on AI. Okay. And it lately now, when I put it in, it'll ask clarifying questions to make it more clear. Mm-hmm. So prompts, I recently put in the last one that I did. It was like for a stupid teacher hack of like cutting the corners of your Ziploc bags that you stick headphones in so the air doesn't get caught in there. And it asked me questions at the bottom like, do I need to use the word Ziploc? Should I use something different? Can you tell me more about this? So it asks like clarifying questions so it can make it better. Wow. Yeah.
Magic School.
Different things,
Magic School AI. The text, best. Yeah. Text writer or text. It's called text something. Okay. It does that when you paste in whatever you need it or when you tell it what to do. It has prompts at the bottom like, it'll say, do you need resources on this? Or it'll ask you like leading questions, which is really cool. I like that.
Okay. Well, that was just a weird wonder. Notice a new wonder that I was curious about is if you've ever like had it write out your whole script before, but you're saying no, don't do it.
No.
It's always good for like, I found that if it's an older case that has like for my JonBenet Ramsey case, like I was just like, write me an essay about this case. Like, let me see what's going on.
Let me start from there.
Because that case was so well known that like a lot of the facts, you know, were there. And it was nice to get like an idea of like, all right, this is how they organized it. But I would rather go this route when I, because, you know, I don't typically do things start to finish. I kind of go start to middle, like, ooh, the crime happened. And then it's like, ooh, get to know her. Then let's get back to the crime and get, you know what I mean? I don't typically, so if it's something that I want more information on that I feel like is too overwhelming and I'm like, all right, I need to know where to start, I'll go there, but it's only for certain cases. Like, I haven't used it.
That's really cool. I appreciate the insight on that because my first time on a true crime podcast, so I was just kind of curious of the hacks or shortcuts that you may or may not use.
Thanks. And I know Ashley and I research so differently. Like,
I
have 10 tabs up and they're all articles and I will read each article. I will go summarize it. And then I will read another article and I will go add what wasn't in that previous article. But like I lay mine out like trigger warnings, overview, who the person is, the crime, the investigation, trial. So like I have headers so I know where to go back and kind of like,
That's smart. That's like a template.
That's a little
You got
chaos
a template. Okay.
See, that's chaos like to you. I just, it just works for me.
You know, this mind is crazy.
But I think that's very linear. And I feel like that's very much a math person.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One article at a time. Mm-hmm. And by then I know, like when I read the article, I'm like, okay, I already have that. Let me skip to the next. Like I'm trying to find the things that like I don't have. And then I put like blanks. I'm like, look more into this. And then I know certain things to go search in the search bar. But like my first general search is just like normally just their name. And I'll open like all 10 articles and read those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can't read an article straight through. Can't do that.
All right. I'm ready.
Yeah. All right.
So, all right. Here we go.
Give me those disclaimers.
Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora. This is going to be a shorty today because the information on this case is pretty open and shut other than the motive at this point. It's an important case to cover because it is one of the smaller cases that many of us don't know about, but regardless of the fact, her story deserves to be told. So with that being said, let's jump right in. Oh, by the way, the trigger warnings are a murder-suicide. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So today's lesson begins on May 24th, 2023 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. A video had been posted around 7:53 a.m. to 18-year-old Nasir Scott's Instagram. Here's a direct quote from one source describing what occurred in the video. It began with what sounded like a male breathing heavily. The camera was pointed at the floor as he walked through what appeared to be a kitchen and then down a short, dark hallway. The individual then walked into a room cursing under his breath, and the camera captured images of what appeared to be the body of a young woman lying on the floor. The person filming then tossed a handgun onto the bed and cursed under his breath again. The video ended moments after the individual uttered two worried expletives as he lifted the girl's arm and she did not respond.
That was live? That was like a Instagram or Facebook
live?
That
was my exact question, Jameson.
I don't know if it was a live or if it was posted on a story or if it was posted. I don't know where on Instagram it was posted. I just know it was posted somewhere on Instagram.
Okay.
Yes.
But if it's not live, I guess my thinking is like, how does Instagram work, right? So if it's not a live, someone had to go to the phone, upload it from the camera roll, regardless if it's a story or on the feed. Okay. All right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I will say, speaking devil's advocate, sometimes if my phone is open and I'm in Instagram and I'm like walking around, like I'll change the theme in like some of my group chats in Instagram. Like, and I'll be like, oh snap, I didn't realize I did it. So I don't know if it was that type of situation. Like he was walking around with his phone, accidentally opened the camera and didn't like, granted, I don't, again, if it was on the story, I would be like, okay, well, you got to hold your finger down. Like that's,
yeah.
So, yeah.
If it's live, you just, if I don't know how
you
many
lives. You just tap it and then you're good to go. Yeah. You know,
yeah,
you so I don't,
it. So
yeah.
That one seems, really, live seems a little bit more plausible than doing than the like, extra, like.
Yeah.
But, right. Okay. Either way, and then, Nick.
And then it's in 2023. So like we've heard of situations where a crime has taken place on a live and the app has shut the live down because it goes against guidelines. And so it could be that whatever happened, it abruptly shut it down and was like, no, no, no.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that's what happened actually, here.
The crime wasn't actually, it wasn't the act of the crime. It was the aftermath because we're finding out. Okay.
Yeah. A neighbor that lived two houses away from Tatiana stated that one of her family members heard the gunshots and then sirens. Police were called to 18-year-old Tatiana Hayward's home on the 3700 block of Carlos Avenue. When police arrived, they found Tatiana dead and Nasir with what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Nasir was taken from the scene to a local hospital but was pronounced dead there.
So two bodies.
Yes. Okay. He wasn't pronounced dead until he got to the hospital.
Right.
So.
I'm sorry. Did you say that she was also shot? I know he threw the gun
down. They never said that.
Okay.
They never said that, but I'm going to assume she was shot.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was looking. I was like, all right, what was her cause of death? And nothing said explicitly that she was shot. But I'm assuming the gun is there. He has a self-inflicted wound.
Right. And in the video, he threw the gun on the bed.
Yeah. And then he was trying to see if she was alive. So something went down. Let's take a minute to get to know Tatiana. According to her mother, Tatiana was one of the most loving people on the planet. She was very protective over her loved ones and her animals. Tatiana was known for being fun. A direct quote from her GoFundMe page states the following. Tati could turn any minor situation into a major party. She would bring out snacks, balloons, and decorations, music, board games, and cards at the drop of a dime. Instantly, we're having a party. She sounds like a good time.
Dang.
I like to have a party too, girl.
Just hanging out. Two people, three people show up. Okay, now it's a party.
Yeah. See, I was never that type of person. Like, parties to me give me the most anxiety. When I have to host things, I always have this crippling fear that no one's going to come and it's just going to be me with all these snacks. Like, gang's all here. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a traumatizing thing, but Tatiana, she's throwing the parties.
Yeah.
She's throwing the parties. Some of her hobbies included knitting, gardening, bowling, and shopping. Tatiana was also her own boss. She and her mother started a business called Paparazzi Bling and Things in the Bragg Boulevard Flea Market. She loved to open the shop on the weekends and serve the customers. Tatiana loved fashion and design, so she would always be dressed to the nine from head to toe while at the Paparazzi Bling and Things. Paparazzi is like the so thing.
I just think it's like she's 18, right? Like she's 18 years old. And she likes knitting, gardening, and bowling. And it's that's so...
Because you don't see... soul.
Right. You don't see 18-year-olds that are like, I like to knit, garden, and go bowling.
Yeah. I need to pick up a hobby this year, and I'm trying to think of what to do. Knitting might be
I think
it.
You should do knitting.
Knitting might
Crocheting's
be
easier.
Is it?
Don't hate me.
Knitting is the one with the two things like this?
Knitting is two.
Okay.
Crocheting is one. You can actually watch TV and crochet, where you can't like watch TV and knit, in my opinion.
Ooh. I need something I could do. I can't just do one thing.
Yeah. I have a hard time with it myself. I am, what is that phrase? Dabbler in all, master of none. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Especially like artsy, craftsy stuff. I can do a lot of things, but not immaculately well. And so I can do both. Nice. I prefer crocheting. I find it easier to like actually take my brain off of it. Mm. Knitting, I have to really focus on it personally.
Interesting.
Okay. My mom crochets. I've got like four blankets here that she's made for me. One all the way back from college. Blue and white. Nittany Lions.
Yeah. There you go.
But that's just so that's like what stood out to me is like you're listing her hobbies. And I was like, where are the 18-year-old hobbies? Like the typical 18-year-old hobbies, you know?
I mean, she liked to shop.
Yeah, and fashion. Yeah,
that's fashion.
I mean, she's only 18, so it's not like she's... Unfortunately, she didn't have a whole lot of life experience to develop. Right. Like, you know, she wasn't a partier. I mean, she was a partier, but not like a
not
clubber.
Like a, yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So, I actually like that she's an old soul because I feel like a lot of these kids these days are growing up entirely too fast.
They are.
Like even the girls are always like, mommy, I want to be an adult. And I literally look at them and I said, being an adult is not fun. I do not want this for you.
You have to plan dinner every night.
Yeah. Like, no. Stay a child. Yeah. Do not pay bills.
Yep. Please. But they said on my morning show, was it this morning? It was this morning. The average bedtime for 20-year-olds now is 10:06.
That's oddly specific.
Yes. The average bedtime for 20-year-olds from 20 to 29, like 20-year-olds are choosing to go to bed between 9 and 10 now. And I was like, that the millennial 20-year-olds did not do that.
I went to bed.
No.
When the sun was coming out, baby.
Like 3 a.m., yeah.
Yeah.
Bar closes at 2 here. Yeah.
So I'm like hoping that like this generation is kind of like the 20-year-olds are kind of like now wanting to be old. You know, like maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I just found that like, you know.
Yeah.
I can tell you, my husband has very younger siblings, like generation different. Mm-hmm. And they are both in like college right now. They do not go to bed at 10 a.m. I will tell you that. Okay. So if you want to judge based off of,
Okay, they're still
video games.
Party like a rock.
Okay. Yeah, they party like a rock star.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know who they were serving, but not them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little slower down south. Goes a little slower. Maybe it's just a Bama thing.
You're right. Could be.
It could.
Could be.
Sources stated that Nasir and Tatiana were dating at some point. This seems to be confirmed with Nasir's Instagram page. It had a picture of the two dressed in Despicable Me costumes for Halloween. According to one source, it also had pictures of them in multiple different locations, such as a classroom, a clothing store, and in front of a school bus. So, I mean, if you have that many pictures of somebody on your Instagram, y'all together.
Mm-hmm. Especially you know, like in this day and age, like your hard, what do they call it? Hard launch?
Yeah, it's not real until you're on the feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tatiana and Nasir attended Douglas Byrd High School. Tatiana was a senior and was set to graduate on June 7th. She was going to attend Fayetteville Technical Community College. Her mother, Shirley Simeon, stated that Tatiana was going to study architecture because she loved the idea of building a space. And when I read that, I was like, she was into fashion.
Yeah.
And you're going to go build these buildings, girl? Like,
do it. Okay.
That's impressive.
I thought you were going to say she was going to go into something like business because she opened up this business. Okay. Yeah.
We did, would like, not have expected that. My husband went to school for architecture and he does not knit.
Yeah. He's not a gardener? You
know? No.
Gardener? Bowler? A bowler?
No.
Okay. Nasir was a former 11th grader who chose to leave the school on May 10th. So they both went to the same school, but I guess he dropped out.
He dropped out.
And he was an 11th grader and she was a 12th grader.
Senior.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cumberland County School District released the following statement after learning of Tatiana's death. We are deeply saddened to learn about the passing of a Douglas Byrd High School student. Our thoughts are with the student's family and loved ones. The district's trauma and loss team is at DBHS today to provide additional support to students and staff.
So I'm just wondering
why. Go ahead.
She's 18, and I understand that's like it's an adult age. Mm-hmm. Was this her apartment or was this her mom? Like,
I think I'm gonna assume, because again, I feel like this was open and closed except for like why.
Right. Okay.
It was just like Tatiana's home. I feel like she's living with her mom.
I feel as though she is too.
Yeah. She's living with the mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
they have a business together. They're going to the flea market together. Like, her mom's speaking so highly of her. Like,
sounds like
her mom also knows. I would assume that too. I just wanted to.
I think they were living together. Yeah.
Okay. Does it say where mom was that night?
No.
I mean, mama's got lives the morning. Too, but just curious.
Because this was in the morning. Like, the video was posted like 7. Yeah. So this is the morning. Wow, so I'm not sure if mom was maybe. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking at work. So, On June 7th, the day of her graduation, a seat with flowers and ribbons was at the ceremony in honor of Tatiana. Kenneth Williams, principal at Douglas Byrd High School, stated the following to the graduating class and their families. Let us take a moment to remember Tatiana Haywood. We have a chair in her honor and would like to take a moment to remember all that she accomplished during her time with us.
We didn't have to have any flowers at my graduation, but the class, the two classes before us had to have some flowers at theirs. And it's just like super emotional because you're like, this is a child, you know, like.
Yep.
We had a couple at ours. We had a couple of friends that unlived themselves. And so we had that. And then the year after that, a principal did the same thing. So there was a chair up on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then 3 years ago, we had a fifth grader get murdered.
A fifth grader?
Yeah, it was a fifth grader, his eighth grade sister, and the mom. It was a domestic violence thing.
No.
And so at the sixth grade graduation at our school, at my school, so it was one of my students, we had flowers at the sixth grade graduation.
That is absolutely insane.
I think it's different as an adult, like really seeing that than it did as an 18-year-old, like not really. Right.
Well, you're invincible at 18. Like, you still think that you're invincible.
I comprehended it, but it was just, it's a lot different too. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not a fun thing. And,
no,
it is. It's just, it's a, it can cause extra trauma for the people that the lives of, if they haven't started to heal from it. And I'm sorry, you said this was in May. So they graduated in like the next month. Mm-hmm. So it was still a pretty recent like wound in a lot of people's hearts at that point. Okay.
Wow.
Shirley believes that her daughter was killed due to her breaking up with Nasir months prior. She stated the following. I was okay with them being friends, but in February, when I found out they were doing more than being friends, I told Tatiana and him that they had to leave each other alone so that my baby could graduate high school and she had a future. Okay, Mom.
Rightfully so, because, I mean, your daughter is doing things. She owns her own business. She's an old soul. She's clearly not out getting in trouble. She's not lying to her mom. Like, clearly her and her mom have a good relationship. But she obviously chose this boy who dropped out of school. And to each their own, and Ashley and I have said it on this podcast, if you are going to drop out, there have got to be things in place where a counselor is required to meet with you for a minimum of 2 weeks and be like, okay, so your plan is to drop out, but what is next? Where are you going? What are you going to do? How can I help you? Do you need a job? Are you going to go into a trade? But like, it sounds like he just dropped out.
And like no one followed up on him because that's not protocol, but it needs to be.
It's
like,
not. It's not protocol.
Essentially, he's going to be in the working class eventually one day. And you want to make sure he's set up for success rather than out there, you know, floundering and having to figure out ways to make ends meet. You know, we have to set them up for success. Point blank period.
He's still a kid, too. He was 17, you said, right?
Like,
he wasn't even a legal adult yet.
So,
well, I mean, we have kids in my school right now that already say they know they're going to drop out.
Mm-hmm. Same. Like, I mean, not my school, but when I taught middle school, absolutely.
That's crazy. I mean, I've got a kid this year that is purposely failing, on purpose. And I don't mean failing with a 50. I mean, like, failing with 20s. Mm. Just so he can be at our school again next year and be with his twin sister who failed the seventh grade. You know what I mean? Like, so you're giving up your education for a whole year because she made bad choices last year.
But also, what is the codependency with the two of y'all needed to be that way? You know?
Right.
Like, I get it. It's a twin thing. But Skylar and Aria have been split since daycare because the two of them cannot be together. Because if the two of them are together, they're worrying about each other and each other only.
Right.
So they've been cut. Their classes are right next door to each other, but they have their own friends. They have their own teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Split them.
But that's a parent thing. So then that goes into, what are you doing as the parent? Like, why are you allowing this behavior?
Yeah.
I can't make your kid come up from a 23. I'm literally on my hands and he's begging you to do your work. Wow. I don't want you to have a 23.
Did he blatantly say that's what he's doing?
Yes.
Wow.
And you've told family.
Oh, we have had multiple and they conferences. Don't care. I've done counselor referrals.
Wow.
They don't care.
They say they care and they say that they're going to light a fire under his butt, but nothing's happening.
That fire not hot enough yet, baby. Take away that Xbox, baby. Take it away.
We can't retain. So that baby boy would just keep going. Yeah. We don't retain.
So we do.
Yeah. They can only retain in ninth grade.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We retain.
Yeah. Because then they need the credits. So they're not necessarily retained. They still go to like 10th grade, but they are just lacking credits. So they can't graduate.
Right.
Wow. So we don't retain anything. Not preschool, not anything. You can parent select to retain in kindergarten and do another year of kindergarten, especially if you have like a summer birthday baby. And you put them in, but they were like in diapers still when they started. Mm-hmm. You can do self-retaining for kindergarten, but that's the only thing you can do.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just think that there's a lot of balls being dropped in the education system. And a big one is this idea of, okay, drop out. And all you have to do in the state of Alabama is go in the office and sign a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you're out. Same. You're out. And I'm like, what? Like, you made it harder for me to get married than you did for these kids to drop out of school.
Right.
I mean, even in order to get a library card, you have to have three proofs of like identification and stuff. Yeah.
I'm about to drop out of school. Let me just get your John Hancock right here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
That's fine. Everything's fine.
You didn't learn cursive in school, but sign this.
Yeah.
You're still writing your signature in print.
In the alien.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shirley went on to state the following. I don't know if he was stalking her or not, or if he was mad because she truly had cut him off and was moving on with her life that morning when he came in and did what he did. When asked how she would like her daughter to be remembered, Shirley stated that her daughter was beautiful, loving, forgiving, and fashionable. She made sure to note that her daughter just wasn't fun. She was extra fun. Aww. I love that. Extra fun.
That is sweet.
Mm-hmm. I've included the GoFundMe in the show notes. It was to help with Tatiana's funeral and other expenses. Although her funeral is on May 24th, I just decided to include it if anyone was inclined to donate to the family anyway, you know, see how it goes. And I'm also not sure if the Fayetteville police are still investigating the case, but if anyone has any information as to what possibly led to this, please contact Detective A. Wolford at 910-705-2141 or Crime Stoppers at 910-483-8477.
We love the Crime Stoppers.
Yeah. And that's all I've got for you today. That was our mini lesson.
I think that it was, I mean, we've seen this before with these relationships. And that goes back to a conversation that we have had, that we had way in the past. Like, no one is teaching these kids how to lose or not be.
I know that's right.
What am I trying to say? It's not lose. It's rejected.
Like, fail.
Rejected. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying that. I'm not, and I guess you could use the example of everybody gets a participation trophy. Nobody's teaching these kids how to properly lose in life, and you're going to eventually lose. And I think that what's happening is these kids are not taught how to deal with those emotions and process them, and then and then be like, okay, well, now what can I do to be better, right? So it's fight or flight, and they're choosing fight.
And it's so funny because you would think in this day and age, everybody's talking about SEL, 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 talk about your feelings, talk about your feelings, talk about your feelings. When?
Right.
When, during what time? When you're shoving this pacing guide down my throat and all the other things. Ooh, we have an assembly today. So also, it's not factored into your pacing guide, but you have to go here right now to miss your whole entire ELA block. I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry,
don't
what?
Don't forget morning meeting. I was going to say, I feel like there's... And I think I don't want to blame everything. Like, I'm not a COVID blamer, but I think that there's a big social disconnect that has or that happened during that time too. That like a lot of kids now don't know how to talk to each other.
They don't.
They don't know how to sit down and have a conversation where they're asking each other questions and listening. They're just waiting for their turn to talk. And it may not even completely relate to the same thing that this other person was doing. So when you don't have communication skills, you don't know how to manage your emotions, and you also don't know how to, like, you don't know how to cope when something doesn't go the way that you expected it or whatever. That's like a trifecta of yucky that is not in a good position for good things to happen. And like I said, I don't want to blame COVID, but I think when we, a lot of us, not everybody, but when a lot of us, like our state completely shut down. And we also had the George Floyd thing happen at the exact same time. So we were all on lockdown. Like we couldn't, like at sundown, you had to be in your house unless you were an essential worker. Like, so we were cut off from thing. And the only thing that we had was text messaging and social media and this, and there was no communication. There was no dialogue. It was just, I'm going to write this and then I'm going to, respond. It's just a, I'm going to say something and then respond. It's not a, I'm going to say, think, process, respond.
Yes. Because even now, so like the beginning of the year, our curriculums were, I read to them, they listened, we answered questions together. Now that we're in this second, towards the end of the second marking period, in the third marking period now, like y'all are in partner work. You know what I mean? Y'all are partner. Y'all are reading to find information. So I randomly assign partners. I have like, you know, the cards, the oh, the burger and the french fries go together, the mac and the cheese, the popcorn and the Coke. Like, we do that every day and the kids get their things. But when I literally give them time to read and I pose a question to ask, it's literally, all right, so this is the answer. And that's it. There's no, oh, well, we also read, there's no further discussion about what they talked about. It's answer the question, we're done. Now we're fooling around. And it's just like...
To equate it to math, it's the answer, the equal sign, answer comes next. I'm not going to think about how I got there. I'm not going to think about how you got there. The way that you did it doesn't work for the way that I did it. It can only work this way. Answer comes next. And that, like, for that.
And I have one kid, one, that speaks up and he's like, so we're doing slope from 2 points, right?
Okay.
So basically what I'm showing them is I show them y2 minus y1 over x2 minus x1. I show them that because that's the standard. But then obviously I show them the easier way, and that's to put it in a table and just quickly just, how did this become this? How did this become this? Right. So I have one kid and I was like showing them how to do it. And he was like, why are you not putting the smaller X value in the front so that it just helps your mental math? And I was like, well, why can't I? I was like, can I? He was like, I don't know. You keep doing it that way. And I'm like, well, okay, why don't you do it your way and see if we come up with the same answer? And I have one kid that really like questions things like that out loud. Yeah. Now, I do have kids that don't feel comfortable asking in like whole group discussion, but will gladly like ask questions, you know. But in But then I also have the kids that are like, just show me your answer. I don't want to think. And I'm like, no, no.
So I'm like, the communication, even like the first graders that I have right now, they eat breakfast in the classroom, which I can't stand, but that's a whole nother story. So they eat breakfast in the classroom and they're just this. It's just, but it does, it's not a conversation. It's, they're not curious about each other. No. They're not finding out more information about each other. And I would be much happier to let them have a half hour breakfast where they're actually talking, but they're just talking. Right. They're making
noise. You play Minecraft? I play Minecraft.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you play yesterday? Me too.
Yeah. You like hamburgers? No, I'm going to go do puzzles this weekend. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So I think that there's a big disconnect with video game talk, social media, like texting. Even some of the like discussion board, like when I'm thinking about like taking online classes and stuff like that, I did that in college too. But like we would always have to do discussion boards and it was like somebody would make something and it would be like you had to respond to
respond to at least three people's posts. And
the responses were like, you can't even respond to the response because there wasn't meat
enough
to it. And so
your response is,
like,
I agree.
I just feel like communication skills are way down. And then, you know, they're not developed.
They're not.
So then on top of that, they're making impulse decisions. They're just, it's.
Well, and I saw that a lot with like what I did this week. So they had slope word problems. And so they got in groups of three and we had a long talk. You need to really think about your group. You need to think about who you're going to work with. And I was like, I'm not going to tell you how you're about to get your test grade, but just know what I'm about to go over is a test grade. So I need everybody to reflect. I need you to make eyes with the people that you're about to work with. And I knew who's going to pick who, what. Yeah, right. So they all got a different word problem and they had to work it out on the paper first as their rough draft. And then they had to put it on a poster. Now the poster became the actual grade. I was not going to grade these posters. So then once everybody had two full days to work on their poster, everybody's word problem was zombie themed. So it had to go with the theme. You had to have color. There were some requirements, right? So then on the third day, everyone laid their posters out and every group got a different color sticky note. And they had to go to everyone's poster. They had to check all the math and they had to leave feedback. And I told them, I said, there is a nice way to say something that is not so nice. It's called constructive criticism. I said, if you see that somebody's math is wrong, you need to tell them. You need to tell them. If you see that they did not color it good enough, you need to tell them. I was like, but if everything on their poster looks great in your opinion, you need to tell them. And so they all went around and they put post-its on everybody's posters. The group then went back, got their posters, read all their feedback, and decided as a group what they felt like they deserved. And it was the most actual conversation that I've ever seen take place because they were like, well, should we leave that on there? Well, you know, like, what do you see that I don't see? Like, is their graph right? I mean, they were coming up with some good ideas. And do you know that I had one group out of seven classes, one group give themselves 100?
Did they deserve it? Out of curiosity.
They did. They deserved it. And I had a group today and the kid said, we deserve a 60. And he gave himself a 60.
Wow.
He said, we did not get good feedback.
Something like that. They were like, looks great, man. I'm like everybody. And I was like, well, this blew up in my face. But
I was very shocked. And I was shocked by like, well, I don't want to write that, Mr. Ojo. I said, no, that's not mean. And we had a long conversation with, I said, somebody cannot like something on your poster and it be okay. I said, y'all have got to realize that.
And so how are you ever going to get better if you don't know what you did wrong?
Right.
But you don't have to be mean too. You don't have to be like,
you don't get to be mean.
Your zombie looks alive or whatever.
Right. And like, So they, I had one group today, they got in an argument because they couldn't put a grade on a on their paper if they didn't all agree. And he wanted to give their group a 90. And the other two were like, no, we don't deserve a 90. Like we deserve an 80, an 84 or something like that, 84. And he was like, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. He was like, all the bad feedback we got was the graph and the handwriting. And I said, so I came over and I was like, let me just pose a question. Do you think your handwriting should weigh the same amount as the graph?
Yeah.
Like, think about that. He was like, well, I mean, it's math class. The graph should be more points. I said, okay. So there you go. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, but I saw a lot of lacking conversations and I saw a lot of like, what do you mean give somebody feedback? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like they need to be handheld to like do it. Like,
but,
you know,
and so if you think about that and you think about somebody saying, I don't like how you treat me, or I don't like that this is happening, and kids don't know how to give that constructive feedback on relationships then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or like on reactions to emotions or reactions to events that occur, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, you're not, so I don't know. We don't know if she might have said and broke up with him or whatever and said, I don't like that you're not going to school. I don't like that, you know, these are the things, but mm-hmm. his emotions aren't able to, one, process them, have a conversation about it, mm-hmm. figure out what needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. His only thing that he's hearing is, you suck, you suck, you suck.
Right.
And that's what he's processing. And then anger takes over and then mm-hmm. there's no anger management. I think it's just like a big secular.
It's a spiral. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I assume, Ashley, that you didn't find out a whole lot about him.
I mean,
I would rather hear more about her because.
No, there was no information on him. It was just that he's the one.
I'm curious about his family.
Yeah. I'm curious about so much.
About his family. I know. I'm not blaming you.
I hate when cases are like this because it's like, dang, I want to know what's on the other side of this, but we.
Or what could have stopped it?
Mm-hmm. Or what provoked this?
Yeah. I wonder about his background, about not giving any sort of excuse, but I do wonder about
what could have possibly led to him down this path? Yeah.
Something has to be going on in that household for a 17-year-old to be dropping out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't care. Like that, there has to be a lack of love somewhere. I don't know where it's from, but there has to be something that's lacking in order for that to just happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of the time, like when you drop out of school. My kid comes to me and says,
Matt, I'm dropping out at 17. I'd be like, the hell you are.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. Right.
And I feel like a lot of the kids who drop out, like they do, like because they don't have someone fostering the importance of education to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I tell my kids, like my kids know.
What the heck is your life going to be like? Yeah. Just like you were saying, Brooke, like what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You dropped out. You going to work at the gas station? Like nothing wrong with working at the gas station. Don't take me wrong. Yeah.
Right.
You got to have a plan.
You do have to have a plan. Mm-hmm.
And like there should be something where like, okay, you sign this. You can drop out in 2 weeks, but you're going to be talking to the psychologist. You're going to be talking to the counselor. You're going to be 100%. Talking to the social worker. You're going to be talking to...
I don't know how that's not a bill that is passed in every public education. Yeah. Like what... Those are your kids that you're failing. Like I went to school with a guy. Ramsey was his last name. That's all I remember. He dropped out 1 month.
Yeah.
Before graduation.
You can't wait. You can't wait.
You're right there, Ramsey. You're right there.
Right there. Right there.
Your toe is crossed the finish line, Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't know. I like that idea. I don't know how we could make it work. I do feel like that would help. Mm-hmm. I feel like you would have to get like a physical even. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
We make you go get a physical for sports. We make you go get physicals for like immunizations and stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to drop
An
out?
An educational physical.
Yeah. And technically you're not an adult yet. And technically you are still a dependent. So I need for not only you to receive counseling, but we're going to inconvenience your adult. You need to bring your adults in.
I mean, I get it if you're 18, like that's what our government says is you're an adult now. You know, you're an 18-year-old senior.
Right.
I guess I get it. I don't think
and
I should get it.
I'm not saying that what... I'm not saying that this would have prevented what he did.
No.
But could it have really helped? Probably, maybe. Like,
I mean,
maybe.
I think that that conversation would have unfolded a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have uncovered a lot of things, a lot of possible trauma that's leading to all of this. And it, I feel like this, if it would have went that route, she, like Tatiana probably would have had a better chance of being alive right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. But they just let him.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about like, hey, advocate for more mental health in schools? Because Tatiana had to have, I feel like she had to have known.
Something was
not
unhinged.
Known that this was going to happen, but known that he was off the hinge or something. And if she could have, if there were more mental health, if there were more counselors, if there were more people that a kid can have easy access to without having to have health insurance, without having to like go talk to their parents about it too. Because a lot of that is embarrassing. Like, oh, I picked this person that's not right for me. Like, and you told me, mom, that this is not right. So even though they had like a, you know, a good relationship, like to have like, what a good, like, this is just another, we need more counselors. We need more psychs. We need more like
everything,
all of those things in schools.
Right. Well, and like Ashley said, a lot would have unfolded, but also you allowed him to go sign a piece of paper. Then Tatiana dumped him. So now he has no job, no school. He has no distractions. So he's sitting at home. And he's just
processing.
It's literally because nothing else is happening in his life. He doesn't have social studies to go to. He doesn't have Miss Johnson's class to go to. PE. Like, there's nothing
other
that is
girls to look at.
Right. There's nothing keeping him occupied or busy or helping him move on
other than the internet. And we know what we can find on the internet.
Correct. So,
well, that sucks.
It does.
That sucks. Mini lesson that like there's a lot of
questions.
What ifs and could've, should've.
A lot of questions. But that's all I got for everyone.
Well, thank you.
Excited that I got to be here.
Thanks for being here, Jameson. We enjoyed you.
We really did.
Seriously. Now you got my number. You just call me
up. You had such good insights.
Thank you. I talk a lot.
That's cool.
We all do.
So do we.
That's why we. That's why we made a podcast.
I mean, we're. This was supposed to be a mini lesson for an hour.
And I think that's why I have that YouTube that I don't do very often. So.
Just get on
that
there.
Part time YouTube. You know.
I'm pretty real. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't sugarcoat things. So
okay, we love it.
This is what you get. Yeah. So it was super fun. I am so glad I like randomly jokingly said you should have me on when you were saying which podcaster or which who like celebrity should you have on? And I was like, me, just kidding. Or am I? So
and
I'm really glad
look at you.
Absolutely.
I'm really glad that you took me up on it. And I'm just going to give a shout out to my mommy friends that are not teachers that are now going to go do this because they know somebody that was on a true crime podcast.
Yes. Hey, mommy friends.
Any other teachers, peoples, feel free to message me if you have any questions for me too.
Absolutely.
All right, well, everybody.
Where's that bell?
Oh yeah, it's coming. You know, well, as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we'll see y'all next time. Bye.
Bye.